It's time once again for Dialogue Conspiracy with Mae Brussel. For the past 14 years, Mae has been researching and uncovering facts and evidence from between the lines of the news and placing them in a more thorough perspective of how conspiracy, political assassination, and abuses of power affect us all. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KLRB-FM in Carmel, California. And now, Mae Brussel.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel. It's Sunday evening, December the 4th, 1977. We're getting towards the end of this year, and it's Dialogue Conspiracy number 298. Before I begin on the major part of the program about Howard Hughes' will this evening, that's what I'm going to be talking about, and the controversy going on in the courts in Nevada at the present time, I did want to bring up the subject of tape cassettes of Dialogue Conspiracy that are available. I get a lot of letters at the house and telephone calls asking about the past cassettes for the shows. Tapes are available from March. I started making cassettes. I can go back 5 or 6 years eventually and get our past shows on tapes. But the ones that are available now are from March 1977 up to the present time. There was a time split of the tapes until August of this year, and those tapes up till August the 1st or August the 8th are 45-minute tapes, and those tapes are $4.20 for two broadcasts, 45 minutes on each side. And the 30-minute shows after that time are $3.50. I have all of the shows listed, the subject matter and what we discussed on the Dialogue Conspiracy and the numbers of the programs and the dates. And if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I can give you the names of the shows and you can order any two that you want. They don't have to be in any particular order, or you can just get sets of them. I get letters during the week, one last week with a check for all of the shows up through this coming April, another one up through February. Some people subscribe by the month. So just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, please, because of the time factor, and tell me if you want a list of the past shows, and I'll give you more information. There's another problem that I do want to discuss, and that is the fact that there doesn't seem to be enough time to barely get into some of the material that I do want to share with you each week, because the weeks go by so quickly, and having a 30-minute show just eliminates a large section of articles that I could at least run down very quickly for you and alert you to that are in the news so you could save the information about it and read up on it if you want. And I'm thinking of the idea of having the regular Dialogue Conspiracy like I'm doing now, which is 30 minutes, and then next week's show, for example, is back to this show. The December 11th show is taped, and then the cassettes go out every 2 weeks. And the cost of these to have them duplicated, as I say, is $3.50, and they go out every 2 weeks. So that some of the news is on, it's 2 weeks old by the time it gets to the East Coast, 2 weeks plus a few days, and we're not getting as much information. People are complaining that they're not getting as much information. They want more. So I'm considering taking the other side of this 30-minute show and doing a broadcast or just taping at home 30 minutes of news, of facts and information, and sending the tapes out once a week instead of every 2 weeks. I hope this doesn't sound too complicated for the new listeners. The regular listeners will understand what I'm talking about. But I am considering the possibility, and I'll wait for letters from you. I can't write to each of you individually, of sending out cassettes once a week at a cost of $3.50 a week instead of $3.50 every 2 weeks and keeping up information. For example, there are articles this week, follow-up on the subject of Libya and Iraq and Syria that I wanted to talk with you about. Lydia Blades did a show with me on that 2 weeks ago. And I want to follow up with Jack Anderson's article of November 29th talking about the real reason that Anwar Sadat went into Israel. And he mentions the secret reason, and he goes into the debt of Egypt to the Soviet Union and the desire to take over his oil fields, his neighboring oil fields, that would result in $8 billion a year income if he were to invade his neighbor to the West, and Libya, and we were talking about the debts to the Soviet Union and the necessity for war. I heard on the telephone this evening that Iran is in some way state of martial law. No telephone calls have gone in for 24 hours, and we also talked about Iran wanting to take over Iraq. It's too soon yet to tell what's happened, and there's a news blackout, but I would like to be able to talk more about that. I'd like to talk at length about Jack Anderson's column on the U.S. military providing vans and chaplain to go to the grave of SS stormtroopers for a service over in Germany, or the death of Manuel Artime, a godfather of E. Howard Hunt's son, the person that Hunt left his child with while he was in Eglin Air Force Base, a country club, so-called prison. Emmanuel Artime died this week of, I suppose, a Jack Ruby type of cancer just at the time that the anti-Castro Cuban community was being investigated for terrorism and bombing and violence. I mentioned Artime's name in my very first article in 1972 about Martha Mitchell's kidnapping and the Watergate defendants. He's another very important witness to the Kennedy assassination, to E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis, and Artime is dead. I also read a column this week about the Argentine arrests that are taking place. 600 Jews have been killed. There's been, since March 1976, 8,000 people killed just since March in Argentina. 600 of them are Jewish, and those people that have been taken to the interrogation centers have seen the swastikas and the photographs of Adolf Hitler at the interrogation centers. There's another zombie shooting similar to the type that David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, was about to do in New York. This one in Omaha, Nebraska, where one person was killed and 26 others were wounded. And this particular gentleman, Ulysses Cribbs, kept saying that voices were telling him to kill. He said they kept telling him often to go in and kill, and he had to do it. This is similar to Lawrence Kwong in San Francisco shooting in KGO and to Son of Sam. Again, a Vietnam veteran who is hearing voices and ordering to kill. And I wonder how many of these Vietnam veterans are the cause of violence going on now and how many of them are the product of Dr. Delgado's brainwashing. There also was a brief article, Associated Press article this week, that the Warren Commission had evidence through the FBI reports, which they withheld until just this week, that the ammunition for Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle probably came from the CIA. The new document that came out said that the FBI determined that the 6.5 Mannlicher Carcano ammunition that was manufactured by Western Cartridge Corporation had 4 million rounds for the Marine Corps in 1954 and made no further production of ammunition for this firm. But the ammunition that Lee Harvey Oswald had originally, it didn't fit that weapon, and they traced it then to a U.S. Marine Corps order, which they weren't filling since 1954. And it goes on to say that this gives rise to the obvious speculation that it was a contract for ammunition placed by the CIA with Western under U.S. Marine Corps cover for concealment purposes. In other words, the FBI man thought the CIA might have used the Marine Corps as a cover to obtain the ammunition secretly. Now, these are items that I would go at length in for the other half hour on the back of the tape. So I'll leave it up to you, the listening audience, to write to me and let me know if you want one tape a week at a cost of $3.50 a week, or whether you want just the set every 2 weeks going out as they are at the present time. Well, the Battle of the Howard Hughes Will is taking place, the Mormon Will, so-called Mormon Will, in Las Vegas, Nevada, right now in the courts. But there's been a court brief sent to Houston, Texas, to stop this hearing and all action on the Houston, Texas argument about the legitimate place where Howard Hughes was supposed to have had his domicile. He didn't stay in these places for years, but the courts are trying to decide if he was a resident of Texas or of Nevada, and also the California courts are trying to get into this act, too. But a brief was filed in the courts. It was sent special delivery November the 16th, 1977, and it was sent to Texas because there's evidence that a Utah federal judge, Alden Anderson, who is a Mormon, heard before his court 2 months before Howard Hughes died, that the members of the Summa Corporation said that Houston, Texas, was the home of Howard Hughes, and that's why he didn't have to appear in court at a trial, because if he gave his legal residence, that was sufficient. And then Judge Anderson locked up all this information, or tried to lock it up, and send the Mormon will to Nevada so that the Mormon church would inherit more money, because the taxes are non-existent, the inheritance taxes in Nevada, but there are taxes in Utah and in Texas or in California. To just say it again briefly, and I'll go into this brief, Federal Judge Alden Anderson has concealed the fact that the Summa people and the Howard Hughes people gave the legal residence in February 1976 of Howard Hughes as being a resident of Texas, Houston, Texas. Hughes, or the person supposedly to be Hughes, was dead 2 months later. Then the judge secretly locked up this court record and sent the so-called Mormon will to Nevada so that the church, by inheriting this money, would have more if it was ruled on in Nevada instead of in Texas. Now, the man who got access to this information is a very close friend of mine, Preston Truman, who has provided me with many valuable documents. He's a real soldier in this effort to uncover the truth, very dedicated person from Salt Lake City. And working with him is Douglas Wallace from Vancouver, Washington, who was the lawyer who filed the brief. Douglas Wallace was mentioned just briefly on Dialogue Conspiracy number 266, if you have those tapes, April 25th, 1977. And I discussed just briefly how he was shot at. Two officers went to the home where Mr. Wallace was visiting from Washington in Salt Lake City, and one officer probably thought it was Mr. Wallace coming home early in the morning, and the other officer shot him and paralyzed him. And the story was that Wallace was not supposed to be under surveillance, but he not only was, but one of the officers shot another officer, thinking it was Douglas Wallace. The brief I'm reading now from a Daily Utah Chronicle. It's from the University of Utah newspaper, a headline which has not been in any wire services across the country, the Associated Press, the United Press. The headline says, Howard Hughes, a Texan, with a question mark. The court ruling on the billionaire's legal residency surfaces. The Utah Chronicle said the brief was filed on behalf of Latter-day Saint Freedom Foundation by excommunicated Mormon lawyer Douglas Wallace of Vancouver, Washington. The controversial Wallace has been at odds with the Mormon Church since he ordained a black priest over a year ago. Wallace's actions were in direct violation of Mormon theology, which prohibits blacks from holding priesthood. A few days later, he ordained the black man. Wallace went to a church meeting in Salt Lake City and was ejected from the tabernacle. By the spring of 1976, Wallace was claiming he was the object of constant surveillance by church security agents and the Salt Lake police. In April, a Salt Lake police officer was accidentally shot and paralyzed by another officer as they sat in their squad cars. Police officials later admitted the two were on assignments to shadow Wallace during one of his frequent visits to Utah. Now, how do you, if you shadow a man, why are they shooting at him? And that's a good question. And, of course, you can understand how valuable Douglas Wallace is when I read you this brief. Now, I think I'll read it straight through with very few interruptions. And those of you that are familiar with my article, that Howard Hughes was buried by Aristotle Onassis in 1971, in the spring of 71, and that is Vance Cooper, that another person later would be substituted when Howard Hughes would be buried, can appreciate now that Mr. Douglas Wallace, who is an attorney, has asked the Attorney General in Texas to exhume the body. Now, this is what he sent to the probate court, the state of Texas, as I say, November the 16th, 1977, from Douglas A. Wallace. He says, Comes now the petitioner. Your petitioner is a nonprofit corporation organized under the laws of the state of Washington. One of the objectives of its organization, he has a nonprofit corporation, is to expose the improper and illegal activities of the so-called Mormon Church. Incidentally, Mr. Wallace is a very dedicated Mormon, but he thinks that these particular people are crooks and that the church does not exist for these people, that this is a so-called church. 2. Your petitioner's purpose in presenting this pleading is to bring before the court information helpful in this matter of going into illegal activities of this so-called church. 3. The issue of domicile or residence of the alleged descendant. Howard R. Hughes, now before the court, has been previously ruled in the Federal Court of Utah already by the Honorable Alden J. Anderson, that the residence of Howard Hughes was Houston, Texas. The title of the reference case is Howard Hughes versus Hatsis, H-A-T-S-I-S, and was filed in Utah originally in 1972. The ruling resulted from the efforts of one of the defendants in a trial, John H. Meyer, to have positive proof established before the court of the life existence of Howard Hughes, which he questioned as the owner of this plaintiff corporation that was suing John Myers. The matter became again before the court on the 23rd day of February, 1976, in an oral argument in the court. The court ruled that the address was sufficient for Howard Hughes, being as he didn't have to appear, if they produced the residence of Howard Hughes at the time of his alleged demise, he did not have to appear in court. And therefore, the Summa Corporation gave the date, 23rd of February, 1976. And then he says the alleged death of Howard Hughes was April the 5th, 1976, 2 months later. The court allowed the home of Howard Hughes to be Houston, Texas at that time. He said, attached is a copy of a news article from the Salt Lake Tribune, and I'll read it to you later if I have time, saying that Howard Hughes does not have to appear in court. This was dated February 24th, 1976, based on the court records, and Judge Anderson accepted it because the residence was given as Houston, Texas. The suit goes on to say, the so-called Mormon will of Howard Hughes is being probated in Nevada simply because of the conspiratorial action of the Mormon Church. They caused their agent and employee, Wilford Curtin, Jr., to deliver the will to the state of Nevada in spite of the ruling of the Federal Court for Utah that the home of Howard Hughes was stated in the courts of Utah. The so-called Mormon will is deeply rooted in the intrigues of the Mormon Church and its members. I'm reading from a court brief. This is not my script. This is Douglas Wallace. He says, the church is deep in intrigue with its members. The probate trial in Nevada is a scenario of Mormon complicity from the judge to the witnesses and the beneficiaries thereof. Neither the state of Nevada nor of California can have requisite jurisdiction to probate Howard Hughes' estate. The obedience demanded of any Orthodox member of the so-called Mormon church, federal judges included, preempts that they have loyalty to the state over and or federal government. When a conflict between duty and state and church arises, it is always, when possible, resolved in favor of the church. The Mormon is taught and expected to believe that the leader of the church is a prophet of God, is the kingdom of God, a civic, political, ecclesiastical reality superior to any earthly government. And in his brief, he has an Exhibit C from the Kingdom of God, a book on the Mormon Church, that says, during the millennium, the Kingdom of God will continue on earth. It will be ecclesiastical and be political. It is a church which is the kingdom that has the rule and government and of the word given to it. And he used an exhibit here to show quotations that their first priority is to the Mormon Church and the Kingdom of God. Members are threatened on chance of excommunication to support the kingdom of the Mormon Church, the God, by complying with the directives of its all-male governing hierarchy. Alden J. Anderson, the judge of the Federal District Court of Utah, is a member in good standing of the so-called Mormon Church and has, for reasons unknown to your petitioner, Douglas Wallace, ordered the cited court records of this trial against Johnny Myers, where they said that the home was in Houston, Texas, sealed up against public perusal. The records require a motion on good showing before the judge will open and view those records. Your petitioner believes and has cause to believe that the order sealing the records was designed to protect the interests of the Mormon Church and the estate of Howard Hughes against shrinkage by estate taxes that would be imposed in Texas or Nevada. The so-called Mormon Church is named as the beneficiary in the Mormon will. Your petitioner alleges that the said church is a subversive organization, daily violating criminal statutes of the federal government, daily violating, and the several states thereof, that it is thinly veiled as a Christian organization, and that the patriotic rhetoric it espouses is directed to lull and delude the American public against the threat to the democratic form of constitutional government now enjoyed in this country, which it poses. Attached is part of the pleading and a copy of a statement made by Bruce McConkie in his book on the Mormon document, which I read to you, relating to the nature of the kingdom of God, and also marked Exhibit C are the newspaper articles, Exhibit B and C on the Anderson decision. Public policy, when applied to gift testamentary, forbids the granting to any person who has knowingly committed criminal acts. This policy is rooted in property law and based on the premise that criminals may not be rewarded by the state, which has a sovereign right to escheat that part of the estate. Therefore, this court should allow the introduction of testimony and evidence to support the allegations of this petitioner. Your petitioner stands ready to provide the necessary witnesses and evidence that this allegation should the court admit the Mormon will. If the Mormon will is admitted and probated as valid, Mr. Douglas Wallace is going to show the criminal law-breaking record of the people in the Mormon Church, such as the Watergate defendants, breaking our criminal laws, and that they should not be able to have a say on the Mormon will. He says, due to the often publicized involvement of Mormons and the Mormon Church in the affairs of the Howard Hughes Organization, before and after his alleged death, April 5th, 1975, many persons in the United States, including your petitioner, are suspicious that the body interred in the state of Texas may not be the body of the alleged Howard Hughes, that, in fact, the death of Hughes may have occurred several years earlier, which would change the composition and the nature of the estate to be probated if clearly and positively proven. I'm reading here a court brief filed this November 16th, 1977, in the courts in Texas to stop the hearings on the Mormon will that are going on in Nevada at this time. It's written by an attorney, Douglas Wallace, who happens to be a devout Mormon, but accuses the people in charge of the Mormon will of being a fraud and thieves. He goes on to say the identification of the so-called Howard Hughes body in question under the foregoing paragraph is as made from fingerprints compared in the files in the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, is lacking in sufficiency. There has been a refusal of the past director of the FBI. He's still the president because Mr. Johnson was too ill to take over. He's referring to Clarence Kelly. Refuses to reveal the names of those agents who were involved in identifying the body. Additionally, the speed with which the body was interred raised suspicions of a conspiracy involving the estate of the alleged descendant. Here, I'm stuck on that word. There is a disproportionate number of Mormon church members employed by the Federal Bureau of Investigations, according to this court brief, and they are in the federal agencies, including the Central Intelligence Agency. And your petitioner believes or has reason to believe that based on the allegations contained in paragraphs 8 and 11 about the fingerprints and about the body not being Howard Hughes, there's a strong suspicion that the alleged body of Howard Hughes is delivered by jet plane to and interred in the state of Texas may not, in fact, be the body of Hughes. The court, indeed the people of Texas and the United States, need to know by independent pathological and forensic studies that the body in question is that of Howard Hughes. The question of this court's jurisdiction over the estate of Howard Hughes demands that positive and unrefuted evidence of identification be made and that the alleged body be exhumed for such studies under order in the direction of this court. We, therefore, your petitioner, praise the court to take the following action of the present probate. 1, request the Attorney General of Texas motion the Federal Court of Utah to get the certified copy of all court records and the transcripts that Judge Anderson took at the time that the Summa Corporation said that Howard Hughes' residence was used in Texas. 2, request the Attorney General of Texas take appropriate legal steps to the United States Supreme Court to enjoin the state of Nevada and California from probating that estate based on the residency ruling that was heard in court February 23, 1976. 3, that I beg that the court be wary of any representations of Mormons or persons or firms representing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, commonly called the Mormon Church, in any claimed interest to the Hughes estate. 4, that in the event the court should validate the so-called Mormon will and admit it to probate, they will allow your petitioner then to introduce testimony and evidence in support of the allegations contained in the paragraphs above, and to deny the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, more commonly called the Mormon Church, from taking under the will on the grounds of it being an organization that is subversive to the interests of the United States of America and the state of Texas. And lastly, 5, that the court order the body interred in the state of Texas, that of the alleged Howard Hughes, be exhumed for positive, independent, pathological, and forensic study to determine identification, and to allow this court to proceed with unquestioned jurisdiction. And then included in this court brief are the dates that were filed, the oral arguments for the motion that Howard Hughes appear in court at this particular trial. Johnny Meyer was one of the defendants, and it's got all the dates of the court records. And then on February 23, 1976, there were these oral arguments for consideration that Howard Hughes did not have to appear in the court because his address was given. And what they said that day was that the current address was in Houston, Texas, of Howard Hughes, and that any change of address would come at least 10 days after the change and would be made by Howard Hughes and submitted to the court. And if that didn't appear within 10 days after they moved, then the legal residence was Houston, Texas. Now, this is a heavy court motion. These people have spent a lot of time and money, and it was very hard for Preston to get Judge Anderson's records and to delve into this case in Salt Lake City. These people are going to a great expense and effort. I know that they wanted me to start some kind of a tax-free foundation, which I've thought of, where people could send money and donate it. For some various people that are sending me information and research I'm getting from all over the country, and I don't have the means to repay these people. They spend a lot of time and hours getting me valuable government documents, and I do want to support Douglas Wallace in this case. You see, here is a man that was supposed to, in quotes, be under surveillance, but one plainclothes officer shot the other one when one got out of the car thinking it was Wallace. So he just escaped, barely living, to continue his crusade. But it didn't stop him. He has filed this in the courts, and he has sent this brief to the judge in Nevada and also, I believe, the California officials. He's serious about getting the body exhumed. He believes that the fellow Mormons that he's traveled with are crooks. He believes they're high up in government, that they're up in chicanery, that the Mormon judge in Utah concealed the evidence, that this case was already decided because if it was transferred through an agent that he named to another state, there would be no taxes, and then that would mean something like $300 million or $200 million would go back to the Mormon Church. Now, Johnny Meyer, who was mentioned in this lawsuit, the defendant in that case in Utah, had some used documents and did computer work with Howard Hughes, and he was a gentleman that said that the Hughes Dynamics was an organization that Howard, alive, I don't believe he was even alive at the time, but the man that was supposed to be Hughes wasn't even aware of. And they took $10 million for a computer and put it directly into Salt Lake City, Utah, and fed information from the Los Angeles Police Department. That's just one example of the Los Angeles Police and the CIA using the Hughes organization and using computer banks so that people that signed marijuana petitions or abortion petitions or for any act where the police department has your name or birth records or death records is taken out of the user organization for a massive computer and fed right into the data banks of Salt Lake City. And that's just one example of how deep this thing goes and how insidious it is. So this is the end of Dialogue Conspiracy. Our 30 minutes is up. Please write to me and tell me if you want the tapes every week or every other week with an extra 30 minutes on it. And also, if you want to have some extra Christmas money around to send a donation to Preston or Douglas or the group that are getting these petitions out that I can help give them something, you can send it to me and they'd appreciate it, and I'll send it on to them. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel. It's Dialogue Conspiracy. We'll see you next Sunday night at 10 o'clock.
You've been listening to Dialogue Conspiracy with Mae Brussel.